In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.
Christus
voskrese. Today, brothers and sisters, if you listen carefully, you will hear how to be saved. Now, the gospel has many things that it teaches us. We must believe that Jesus is God and man, that he's born of a virgin, all the things that are in the creed. We must love our neighbor. We must forgive others. All those things are true. All those things are necessary. But those things won't happen unless we have courage. This story is a story of courage. And it is a story of enlightenment because of courage. And it happens with every single one of us. Or it doesn't. One or the other. The blind man knew nothing about Jesus Christ. Being blind in that society, he was basically out of the loop. People didn't talk to him. He barely knew what was going on. And when the Lord healed him, he didn't know who he was. Now, there's lots of things in this healing that are symbolic and beautiful and wonderful. But as is usually the case in the gospel, there is one thing that is critical to understand the rest of it. And in this case, it's to understand everything in life. Everything. And that is this man's courage. He didn't know much. Couldn't read, obviously. He probably didn't know much of the prophets. Probably he was not in temple very often because they probably, or maybe not at all, because they shunned him as one being a sinner. And yet, he became enlightened. And at the end of this reading, we see that he knew Jesus, who stood before him, and he worshipped him. How did he come to that point? It was not because his eyes were healed. Tradition says that actually the Lord created eyes for him. It's not because of that. It's because of how he interacted with the Pharisees, and he didn't back down. He didn't know everything. Some of the things he said were not quite correct. He said, if he be a sinner or not, I don't know. Well, we know that our Lord is not a sinner. That would be incorrect for us to say such a statement. But for that man, it was perfectly appropriate. He barely knew who this man was, but he knew that he'd done something great. And so you can see his understanding being formed as he stands up to the Pharisees. There's a lot of Pharisees. There's always been Pharisees. We have a lot of Pharisees in our age now. It's just now the Pharisees of our age are promoting things which are absolutely ungodly. We see it happening right now. Just recently, we've had our president declare, right, that he's in favor of all manner of fornication to be blessed by the state and recognized as marriage. And the intelligent people of the age, those people who are thoughtful, those people who are educated, those people who are not in any way against diversity or hateful or bigoted, all those people, they're all saying, yes, absolutely. They're like the parents. They're afraid to be cast out of the synagogue, to be thought of as not as intelligent as the rest man, the other man, or not as informed. And there are prices to be paid now from people who are willing to say what is right and what is wrong. It's happening now in our age. It's going to be happening more and more. And you'd best be ready for it. You must make a witness for what is true all the time. Whether it be this issue, and of course our society seems to be awash in immorality and people wanting to justify immorality at any cost, but in any other thing too, you must stand for what is true. Because if you don't, you will not be enlightened. Oh, you'll know about the Holy Trinity and you'll be able to say the creed from memory and you might know 10,000 church hymns. But they won't be in your heart. Doesn't matter how much you know, or how talented you are, or how much you go to church if you don't have the courage to stand for what is true. And that's what this story is about. This man, who was a nobody in society, now he could see. Now he could become integrated back in society. Imagine his feelings. How free he must have felt. But then he had a problem. The healing occurred at an inconvenient time, on the Sabbath day, when fools would say that you should not do merciful work. Of course, we know that's not true. But Pharisees will say things that are not true, and they say them often enough and loud enough, and foolish people say, oh yes, I believe. Yeah, absolutely. You know the story about the emperor's new clothes. It happens every day in our life. Every day in our life. People are unwilling to say that the emperor is naked. That the way of life that people have is bereft of grace. We must be willing to stand for truth. Now, the real exciting part of this story is that this man was nobody special in terms of his intelligence, his upbringing, his station in life, and he didn't know a lot of stuff. He didn't know Jesus. He came to an understanding that he must be a prophet because he'd healed him. But that was only after the Pharisees were questioning him. And then when they continued to question him more, they brought in the parents, and the parents showed that they were absolutely without any backbone whatsoever. Because they didn't want to be cast out of the synagogue. They'd already been cast out. God would cast them out for such a thing, to show a lack of courage and not to be behind their son. What an amazing thing. And to still think that God would bless them. And then as they continued to question him, he saw that they were so vehement that there must be something behind this. You've heard the phrase, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. There was a lot of smoke. And he started to see this. The Holy Spirit enlightened him. Stepwise, not all immediately. Because like I said earlier, at one point near the end of their conversation, he said that if he's a sinner or not, I don't know, but I do know one thing. Before I couldn't see, and now I can see. And then he became really bold. And he asked them, would you like to hear it again? Will you want to become his disciples? When they kept questioning him? Those were dangerous words. And he knew that. And then they, of course, would cast him out, saying, you were born in sins. And then the Lord came to him and enlightened him fully about who he is. It wouldn't have happened if he had not stood up to the Pharisees. Now, I've told you many times, you look at Scripture and you must see what Scripture is saying to you personally. Not any silly stuff like what kind of car to buy or what college to go to or what job to get. But the Scripture is speaking to you about the things you lack, about the things you must do. Sometimes it speaks to you about the things that you're doing well and you should keep doing. It gives you examples of how to live and how not to live. And this is an example of how to live. None of us should think of ourselves as anything special. We're not so intelligent. We're not so profound. But we can be courageous. And God will never abandon the courageous person, even if they have ignorances. Now, as a priest, I see a lot of ignorance. First of all, in myself. The older I get, the more I'm amazed at how little I know. Should know more. But God will enlighten me and enlighten you if you're willing to stand for the truth. We're in an age now where it's going to become more and more important. There's already places in the world where the things that I have said that had been recorded would put me in prison. Absolutely. Not yet here. But it could come. And I'm not trying to be some sort of harbinger of doom and say you need to get ready and, you know, buy a shotgun and 2 years worth of food and all that kind of thing. That's not the point. But you better be ready to stand for the truth. And if you can't stand for the truth, then you can't call yourself a Christian. Now, there's a lot of young people here that are either in college or about to go or are making your way in early in your careers and work. You're going to be faced with making moral choices all the time. You cannot go with the flow. The flow is to hell. That's the wide way. You must be courageous. You cannot be pro-choice because you can't, you know, make other people do something. We know what's right and wrong. We know what is murder and what isn't. We know what is moral and what isn't. We know what ways are the ways of the commandments and what aren't. Now, perhaps some of them we don't do so well. That's not the point. It's not the point about whether or not you're a sinner, but whether or not you're a hypocrite. You can be a sinner and not a hypocrite, because a sinner who repents is not a hypocrite. You've got to be courageous, and the Lord will enlighten you. You got stuff that's wrong with your life? I'm sure you do. We all do. Things that you're confused by, maybe even doubts that spring up, depression, bad lifestyle choices, bad priorities, laziness, whatever it is, God can heal it all if you are courageous and stay with Him. This story reminds me of so many of the other stories that have been during this time. It's not by accident that this is during this time. Of course, the theme of water is here and baptism and the Holy Spirit. But I think in a deeper way, this story meshes with the story of Thomas, the story of Peter, the myrrh-bearing women, Joseph and Nicodemus, the Samaritan woman. They all did courageous things. They didn't know the truth completely. Peter denied the Lord. Thomas said he didn't even believe for 8 days, but he stuck around, even though it was dangerous to stick around. And his heart was broken, but he stuck around. He didn't even know why, probably. He just had to be there. The myrrh-bearing women came to the tomb on a fool's errand. They were going to anoint a living man. They didn't know he was alive. And it was dangerous to do that. But they acted out of courage, not out of correct knowledge. They were wrong. The Samaritan woman spoke with the Lord and had all kinds of wrong ideas. But then when he showed her who he was, she had the courage to go to her people and expose herself. Remember, she was the woman who had had 5 husbands, and the one whom she was with was not her husband. She had that scarlet letter on her forehead. And she went and told her people, "This man told me everything I've ever done." And that's why she was enlightened and why they were enlightened. It doesn't matter how much you know, how smart you are, how good you are. It matters that you have courage and that you want to be with God. You stick with Him. He'll never leave you. And then He will enlighten you. This story is very important for that reason. Lots of deep theology that is wonderful to know, and I don't have time to speak about it now because this is the most important thing. Don't be afraid to stand for the truth. Don't be afraid to say, "I'm a Christian, and therefore I don't do these things, and I strive to do these things. And I will not give in to people who say I'm a homophobe because I believe the truth about purity, or I am against diversity, or I'm I'm part of the war on women because I believe the truth about life. Don't let people do that to you. Don't do that to yourself. Don't cheat yourself out of God. Because all the stuff that's wrong with you, God will fix. You must have the courage to stay with Him. He demands it of you. And if you do it, then indeed, you will be enlightened. That's what this story says today. May God give us all courage to stand for the truth. Amen. And one other thing I need to say. God bless you, Emilio.